This meeting is now being recorded.
Sorry about that. Welcome. This is Jonathan Zook. Welcome to the disciplinary number 38. Is there anyone that is on the phone and not in the Adobe Connect to be counted as attendees?
Hi, Jonathan. David here. I'm on the phone, not on Adobe.
Great, David. Thank you. We'll add you to the list of attendees. And then is there anyone who has had a change to their statement of interest? All right, that's great. So, folks, similar to the last plenary call, we're really trying to limit this conversation to fitting the recommendations into a kind of expected timeline and assigning time frames to each of the recommendations. And so the low-high designation has to do with how quickly we think something needs to be done. And the high recommendations, we've been saying something along the lines of 18 months. And then we've been saying something like 3 years for medium and before the next CCT review or low. And then there's a final designation, which is prerequisite, which is a variable time frame, but basically says that this recommendation needs to be implemented prior to any subsequent procedures, before the DNS is opened back up for more applications. Are there any questions about the categories or the process that we're trying to go through? That's the purpose of this meeting. All right, great. So perhaps, if folks don't mind, I would love to skip ahead to the... Go ahead.
Question. I have a question.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Yeah. The one that you said was like longer term, which is coming before the next CCT. That's what you said.
Yes.
The longest term one is coming before the next CCT RP.
That's correct.
Are we assuming the timeline for the next CCTRT? That means that we think the next CCT will be after 3 years.
I believe that these reviews have been spaced out to 5 years under the new bylaws after the accountability reform. Maybe somebody on staff can confirm that, but that's my understanding, is that it's about a 5-year turnaround time now between reviews.
Yes, Jonathan, it is.
Okay, I'll take that.
Great, thank you. Any other questions? Perfect. So if folks don't mind, because I'm in the middle of another ICANN-related meeting here in Reykjavik this week, if we could potentially go down to recommendation number 50 through 53, and look at these recommendations first. Then when I drop off, I won't leave anybody hanging. Okay. So the first here is to set objectives for applications for the Global South. And that was targeted at the community to make some affirmative decisions about what we want to accomplish in terms of applications from the Global South, because our efforts will stem from, whether or not we're trying to be proactive or simply equitable, I think will be a function of those objectives that are set by the community. And in a sense, there was a lot of wheel spinning before the last round, without a set of clear objectives and in terms of what community was trying to accomplish. And I think that that's still a question for the whole community and not us. And so that's the very first recommendation. And that's my recommendation that that be set as a prerequisite. Because it will determine how the rest of the applicant support programs, et cetera, are designed. Any discussion on that? Wada, go ahead.
Yeah, what's the sub-pro PDP, what's that?
Oh, that's the subsequent
to whom you...
PDP.
Oh, subsequent procedures, okay.
So those are the folks creating the next applicant guidebook, basically. And okay. That's being shared by Jeff and Avery, and both, I believe, Calvin and Carlos are on it. Any other questions or any objections? So are we voting? And I see some green check marks if anyone with everyone. Well, why not just vote no? I get a feeling that there's consensus. So just vote disagree with a red X if you think this shouldn't be a prerequisite to subsequent procedures. I don't see any, so we'll move on. Expand and improve the outreach to the Global South,
you know,
in terms of information.
Jonathan, you do have one red slash mark, Jordan.
I don't think that was on before we started talking.
That mark actually
That means step away, Lorene, I think, not...
Oh, well, it was a slash mark, but now it's gone, so never mind. Oh, I see. Never mind, a misunderstanding.
No problem. So the second recommendation is about expanding and improving the outreach to the Global South, it's described in more detail, but talks about trying to put together some case studies that, business model information, et cetera. And again, I think that this is a prerequisite in that its design will be a function of the first recommendation. And so we're not saying anything specific has to be done here, but that the expansiveness of it will be dependent on the outcome of recommendation one. So again, I think this is a prerequisite. So again, is there anybody that has questions or discussion they want to have about that recommendation? Is there anybody that disagrees that it should be a prerequisite to subsequent procedures? And I think that's just Jordan stepping away. Okay. He's on the go, he said today. All right, so we're gonna label that as prerequisite. Coordinate the pro bono assistance program. If you recall, there was in fact a kind of ad hoc matchmaking service between people willing to help applicants and applicants requesting help. And we have literally zero data about whether or not any connections were made or if anybody was actually helped. And so the recommendation is for ICANN staff to play a coordinating role so that we have a sense next time about whether or not this program was effective and where it worked and where it didn't work. Again, I think this falls into the prerequisite category, but I open that up for discussion. All right. And is there anybody that objects to it being a prerequisite? And then finally, revisit the applicant financial support program. This was the subset, and this is again aimed at the subsequent procedures working group, and I believe that's a prerequisite as well. That's about the financial assistance or the discounts on the application fee, for example. Any questions?
Hey, Jonathan and Jordan, I'm having a hard time raising my hand because the app and my phone are not agreeing. So for the last two, I wonder if these are falling into the category we don't really know anything, but we also don't know if there's actually a problem. So I'm wondering if they actually fall into the prerequisite category. Like, I feel like the position we've taken in a number of other places where we've just sort of needed more information because we don't know whether things worked or not, but we don't really have any evidence that, you know, there's a problem necessarily. We've tended to say those might be high priority, but they're not necessarily prerequisites because they're not targeted at solving a specific problem. I guess here we could argue there were so few applications from the Global South that we know that the things that, it seemed like stuff didn't work. But it also just seems like gathering more information on programs that we think didn't work isn't necessarily going to be that helpful in addressing the problem. I don't know. I'm just sort of mulling over how we avoid making everything a prerequisite or high priority.
And I'm with you. And I don't want to be the guy that says everything should be a prerequisite. I think in this particular case, the decision could be made by the subsequent from recommendation one that it is not, in fact, an objective to increase the number of applications from the Global South. That our time is better spent on facilitating infrastructure of other types, of getting more registrars, whoever knows what else, but that applicants for a new isn't the priority for the community. If it isn't, I think it will render a lot of the rest of it moot. If it is, all we're making prerequisite is actually the design of these programs, Jordan, not these aren't data collection exercises. So the coordination of the pro bono assistance program, it isn't to go back and look at the old program. It is, in fact, to make sure that it's coordinating a future program, if it continues, such that we will have information in the future about whether or not it was a success, and make sure that the people that wanted help are, in fact, matched up with the people offering help. We just don't know that any of that happened. So the recommendation had to do with about staff being engaged in the process, in the application process. It's not just a data collection exercise. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fair. I guess somehow it would be helpful in these recommendations to indicate that there are recommendations of if you do this thing again, then this is how you should do it, as opposed to you have to do this in order to proceed with the subsequent procedures. Because the alternative thing I could imagine is that we could decide as a community this is important, but this was a totally wrong mechanism, right? And in that case, we still wouldn't make sense to sort of gate on this particular item because no one would think it was a good idea.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's. Yes, we can try to add some of that conditional language to these because in some ways they're all determinant on recommendation one and potentially other discussions that could take place about them. But I mean, to the extent that we reviewed them, these are things that we found wanting about them. Like the lack of coordination from ICANN staff in the case of the pro bono assistance program. So I mean, I guess that's more the question. The whole program could be eliminated, in which case it wouldn't need to be coordinated. But we're saying if that program is there, that it ought to be coordinated by ICANN staff.
Yes, yeah, so this is really like a prerequisite for doing this particular thing again, right, as opposed to doing a new subsequent procedure. And then number one, or the first of your recommendations is the real prerequisite for proceeding. We got to decide if we're going to do these things or not. And then for each of these items, I mean, I can suggest some language to make this clear. I just want to make sure we don't, I don't know. Sometimes, with due respect to the staff, sometimes when there's confusing recommendations from policy bodies or review teams or something like that. It takes a long time to sort of unmuddle things after the fact. So I just think getting some clarity in the recommendation now will be helpful in making it clear when it doesn't apply as a prerequisite.
I agree. So let's take that offline and just straighten out the language. Okay. David, you seem to be typing something, even though you're only on the phone, which is magical. But do you want to just speak up? Okay. All right. Thanks, David. All right. So that's it for the application and evaluation process. As I said, the recommendation number one under the data analysis chapter, I think we specified as high, not as prerequisite. So why don't we return to our regular scheduled programming, which is Jordan up at the top of the at the top of the list. So okay, so I see here it's listed as a prerequisite, and I think we changed that to high. Data analysis thing, number one at the top of the list here, plenary, the one before it actually. So let's continue on with number two, with Jordan.
I really, really can't read this on my phone. Maybe someone from either Laureen or staff could just read through them. I'm happy to sort of talk through what they are, but I totally can't read what these are on my mobile device.
All right, the first one is collection of wholesale pricing for legacy GTLDs.
All right, sure.
Wait, are these ones?
Yeah, I think we talked through these. I think we got down to some hard number last time, didn't we?
All right, is that the red ones, the ones that we need to discuss?
No,
wait, Jonathan. No, Jonathan. We can move back to number 34.
Exactly.
To what? 34.
34. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. Right. So then that's Laureen that's leading this discussion.
Actually,
Drew.
Drew will do 34 to 36, and. David, the suggestions for RPMs are going to be 37 to 40, so you would be up next after Drew. Drew, do you want to... Do you want to start with recommendation 34? I need 5 minutes before I'll be in front of my computer. Okay. Then, David, would you like to start with recommendation 37, which deals with the RPMs? 37 through 40 deal with the RPMs.
Hi, Laureen. I can try and do that. Except I don't have access now to the computer, so I'm listening to my mobile device and I can't read anything.
I can read it. You could read it out.
Otherwise, yeah.
Sure.
Well, then you read it out to everybody, so it'd be really good stating it.
So recommendation 37 for the RPMs is a full impact study to identify actual costs incurred by trademark owners, and I'm trying to scroll across to see what priority that is. I don't think that has an assigned priority, so I think that's part of the purpose of the phone call. And I see you actually, but it does list that being a prerequisite, if I'm reading this.
Yes.
Yeah, if I'm reading this correctly. Okay, so take it away.
Okay, I think that was basically because it's almost an easy win because it's happening with the ITA impact study. So we'll have the results prior to the next round. So that made it tied as a prerequisite, which shouldn't be. problematic for anybody, but I certainly think it would be something which all the IP community would want as a prerequisite anyway.
So do we have any discussion or questions for David dealing with the prioritization for 37, the full impact study to identify actual costs incurred by trademark owners, and that's identified as a prerequisite. My quick question is, do we know when that study is going to be concluded?
Yes, it should be concluded. The results are all due in by the 28th of February, and then Nielsen, I think, was spending a chunk of March reviewing, so we'd have the results at some point during March, end of March. So it'll be, we won't get the results before Copenhagen, though. We might have some initial ones before then, which we can fish out, which we'll try to, but we won't have the full report and the full results by then.
Jordan has a question for you.
Sure.
Hey, it's only like 8 clicks to get off mute. So I guess I have 2 questions. So if we think that the INTA study fulfills this as a prerequisite, does that mean that we expect that it won't be a recommendation in the final report because it will already be complete? And if so, I think we should probably flag that in this report.
Yeah, good point. I think what I tried to cover with recommendation 2 was saying there that it was something that needs to be repeated. So it's kind of blending the two. I was trying to get one recommendation in this report, but and the recommendation 2 is probably the one which will stay in the final report without saying that it needs to be repeated at 18, 24 months or something, I think I said in that. So, but I agree with you. I think we could put something on this recommendation 1 saying that it's this should be completed prior to we do the final report.
Sure. Okay, thanks.
And I'm not sure that the note captures what we just said. Flag that results in incomplete. I'm not sure what that means. are we just wanting to note that that recommendation will be complete by the time of the report? Okay, pending the survey. Okay, Aliza also has a question for you.
Thanks. Excuse me. Thank you. This is Aliza. I'm a bit confused because the recommendation is to both INTA and ICANN, and I'm not sure which is which. Are we requiring INTA to do this study as a prerequisite, or that ICANN should find a provider to do this study? I think it just needs a little bit more clarity there.
Gotcha. I suppose I was really trying to backtrack or back capture the way this happened, being an ICANN study and an INTA study, and who was going to pay for it, who wasn't going to pay for it, and all those issues, and try and capture it in a semi-eloquent way. So hence saying ICANN should commission with the participation of appropriate associations is the recommendations. That was the idea of appropriate one. INTA may not be appropriate next time around. One would assume yes, but there may be other associations, or it may be widened, or ICANN may feel that they can, go ahead and do it themselves. So I wasn't sure on how the best way to capture those, because it seems like we've got a few options.
I see. So just to be clear, ICANN didn't commission this study at all. We just happened to be in the right place at the right time to benefit from INTA's work. So I just wanted to make sure that distinction was clear.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that's what I was trying to get in recommendation 2, because my recommendation would be that ICANN should commission such a report. With this one, it was a mixed, the way it happened. It just sort of evolved and arrived, should we say. So that again is hard to capture, and the reality and cover the future sort of thing when factually we've got something which is a little bit different. Hence, that was what I was trying to get to in recommendation 2.
So is there a suggestion, Aliza, for greater precision and clarity about the fact that this is serendipitous that we're able to benefit from the INTA study, but to make sure that we're clear in David's chapter about the fact that this was not a study commissioned by ICANN?
I think that's clear in the report itself. I just wonder about in terms of the recommendations, I mean, if we're making a recommendation to INTA, you know, requiring them to do a study, I don't know. I just think that comes across a bit odd. But, I mean, the other thing is you haven't even seen the results of this study yet, so you don't know how helpful this particular study is going to be. I know that they're having some trouble getting people to answer the survey, so they're not sure yet, you know, how much data there will be for you to consume there. So it almost feels too early to lay these out as recommendations. I feel as though you could include just one of these, perhaps just a recommendation in the full impact study to ICANN and kind of leave it open as to who does that and how it gets commissioned. And perhaps refine your recommendation after you see the results of the survey that's underway right now.
I think that makes sense. I was just going to say that and the recommendation I've got, I'm reading on my second device here, was that ICANN should commission with the assistance and participation of appropriate associations. So that, and the
right.
Two was ICANN and relevant associations. So again, I wasn't necessarily saying directing INTA to do it, although obviously here INTA has done it, so they're not going to say no. But it's you know, it's a historical recommendation which we're sort of living through, shall we say. So I'm not quite sure, as I say, how to best capture that. It's certainly recommendation two is the one where that's directed at ICANN. And, you know, when we look at that, that's where, again, it's sort of looking to the future. But I'm quite happy to amend this as you want to amend on recommendation one to get it the right feel.
Hey, David, it's Jordan. I think I would sort of pivot in the opposite direction that Elise is suggesting. I do agree the current, it's slightly confusing, the current recommendations, but I would think that because the first one is basically already in flight and we don't expect it to be in the final report, that maybe we just eliminate number one and just as we do with the DNS abuse study, we just sort of acknowledge that it's going to happen in the report. And then say, as we've done in a number of cases, say, this useful study that's going on should be repeated on a recurring basis as a recommendation going forward. That sort of matches the, you know, what we actually recommend, for example, in the DNS abuse study, as well as with a number of the economic surveys, et cetera. So that's how I would recommend it, just be consistent with what we've done elsewhere. And then we don't have to worry about sort of making a recommendation to do something that's already in flight, which seems a little bit weird.
So yeah, no, that's a good way around it. I mean, maybe if it disappeared, then we could use some of the language, you know, the details of the recommendation, that part which I put in my recommendations for one, and blend that into two, and we just concentrate on two.
Yeah, I think that would make sense.
Right, if it being repeated, yeah, that makes more sense. But I'm fine with that if everyone else is.
And David, Kylie also has a question for you.
Hi, thank you, Lorraine. I still about the recommendation 37 or 38. I thought we were talking about these being prerequisites, and now sounds like we're not making any judgments, but instead we refer them to the RPM group. So is that what we're suggesting, recommending? I'm not sure if I understand what are the consensus for 37, 38.
Hello? Sorry, it's 37 and 38. Is that my old recommendation 1 and 2? So that's, because I haven't got those in front of me. Is that's number one for this study and
yes.
Number two for the future studies, yeah?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. I'm not sure, Kylie, I'm fully understanding the question. I think that this is really, these studies are just to get data for the costs associated. So that's the goal of getting the costs. And then we've obviously got the analysis by Nielsen, et cetera. So I'm not quite sure I'm following what you are.
My question is that I did not fully understand what is going on with 37 and 38. It seems like 37 and 38 are no longer recommendations or valid description of the recommendations, or they are number one or something?
I think we decided we were dropping 37 because it's actually ongoing and happening, so it's not really a recommendation as we'd make in the final report. So it's a valid recommendation for the draft report, but not necessarily for the final. So we'd potentially take that out as a recommendation and just blend some of that wording into the recommendation 38, which is the one basically saying that this sort of study to get this sort of data should be repeated every 18 to 24 months.
Okay, so 37 is taken out, and 38 will be high priority. Is that correct?
I think that would have to be high priority on the basis
18
of
months,
we couldn't make it prerequisite because it would be 18 to 24 months out. So
it is prerequisite. So 37 is taken out, and 38 is prerequisite. Is that correct?
No, well, to discuss, 37 was a prerequisite because I knew we'd have the results before the next new GTLD launches, shall we say.
Okay.
Recommendation 2 I'd put as high because we're pushing that out 18 to 24 months, I was suggesting, after the CCT review team final report. So it didn't seem fair to be trying to say to somebody it's a prerequisite to have something done, which is 24 months after our final report, which by definition could be holding things up. So I thought it just had to be a high, but happy to be taking any discussion on that. Obviously, if we said it should be an INTA survey or an INTA report should be redone in sort of 6 months after our report, then it's quite feasible that could be a prerequisite to have the results back before the future round. Just depends on timings, but that felt tight to be doing that so quickly after this survey.
Hello,
David.
Not sure if I fully understand. Now we're saying 37 is prerequisite?
37 was a prerequisite, yes, but we don't have 37 anymore. So if we don't have 37, it's not a prerequisite.
We do not have 37 anymore, but if we have it, it will be prerequisite. Is that correct?
You've got me lost now. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what you're asking.
Can I try and jump in here? I think the suggestion was from Jordan to treat the currently ongoing INTA survey in the same way that we've treated references in the report to the data analysis survey, which is to reference that it's going on but not have a specific recommendation for the study because it's already going on, so we don't need to make a recommendation for it. And then for consistency, what we would do is have a recommendation, which David does in 38, which is to make sure that a study of this type is repeated periodically. And that would have a high priority. It wouldn't be a prerequisite. So as I'm understanding it, we would be eliminating recommendation 37 and keeping recommendation 38 with a high priority. And recommendation 38 would reference the fact that there's already this ongoing study and some sort of study akin to this should be done periodically in the future. Am I capturing that accurately?
I think so, yeah. I think that's what it is. And with 37, that's whether Elisa's thought of sort of restructuring the way it was phrased, or Jordan's was to eliminate it. So I don't know whether we've had a consensus vote on that. I can see advantage and disadvantage of both, but I'm more than happy to have it matching what we're saying on DNS abuse. So we can match things and keep consistency. I'm happy to go that way as well.
Wado has a question for you also.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, David. Can you hear?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, as we're looking at the priorities, we're looking at prioritizing. I'm also worried about where we're addressing this recommendation to, because it's 38, I'm on 38. Inter/icon. I think I'm not very comfortable about addressing our recommendations to outside entities that outside the ambit of ICANN. So I'm wondering, is it possible to perhaps make this recommendation to be addressed to ICANN and let ICANN see how they can be able to implement a survey on trademark costs? It doesn't necessarily have to be through Inter. It could be through Inter if ICANN approaches Inter and they agree, but we could leave the implementation out. We just address it to ICANN. If ICANN wants to engage another entity from outside to do the... Hello?
Yes? I fully agree with that. I'm not sure why it says, if it does, I haven't got that text. The text I sent in on Sunday it was just addressed to ICANN, so it wasn't saying ICANN INTA. So I'm not sure why that says ICANN and INTA in Rule 38. But exactly the reasons you pointed
out. Yeah, I think it should just be ICANN alone, because then they see how to implement it. Okay, thank you.
It should just say ICANN, yeah. And I did, and in the text of it, I was mentioning it, that ICANN should commission with assistance and participation of appropriate associations. So again, Lee, that was the whole thing. It may or may not be INTA, as I mentioned at the beginning. One would assume it is, but
it could be.
I'm not intending to limit ICANN's hands in who they go to on something like that at all.
It could be Nielsen. Could be anybody.
Yep.
Let them know how to implement it. Yeah.
Okay. So just
anyone will have the data.
In the interest of time, because I want to make sure we get to the things we need to in this phone call, I think what we should do is call for consensus on the approach to 37 and 38, which would be to eliminate 37, but reference in the report that this study is ongoing, and then have 38 be a recommendation to ICANN to commission a study that covers these topics on a periodic basis with a high priority. So that's what's on the table. And what if folks disagree with that, then they should register their disagreement. But that's what's on the table now. You could register disagreement. And I'm not seeing any, and I'm not hearing any further questions. So that will be our approach. And if we can make sure the action items reflect that, so the text for 37 would be to eliminate that, but to make sure the report acknowledges that this is an ongoing study. And then we would move on to 39 and 40. And, David, those are simply review of URS and review of TMCH. So maybe you can just explain those briefly. Trying to find their priority. I think you have those both labeled as a high priority, not a prerequisite.
I'd put them in as prerequisites, but maybe they've become high.
Oh, you have? I didn't see. It's not on that. It's not on the chart this way, if I'm reading it correctly.
Yeah, maybe that chart hasn't been updated since the document I sent in on Sunday.
That,
I know I had to get my 2359 deadline, but perhaps it's in the report somewhere, but not in the table you're looking at. But,
okay, so I'll let you speak to it then, because you'll have the most.
I've got that now. I've got one mobile device in my left hand and one in my right hand.
Glad you're not driving.
I know. Imagine if I tried to drive with my tongue. It would be quite interesting. Recommendation three is, so that was a full review of the URS should be carried out and consideration be given to how it should interoperate with the UDRP. And then this is in addition to where we'd been the last time. However, given the PDP review of all rights protection mechanisms in all GTLDs, which is currently ongoing, such review needs to take on board that report when published, and indeed may not be necessary if that report is substantial in its findings and if the report fully considers potential modifications. That's just because I'm not exactly sure how this all fits together, so I'm trying to do many things with one recommendation. But I do think, and it seems pretty clear, that there should be a review of the URS, but what we shouldn't be doing is having multiple URS reviews all going on in parallel. So I'm cognizant that if we can have one which is a good one, then we're all good and everyone's happy with that. So that's the point on the recommendation three. So as long as there is one, and hence the prerequisite, I think that needs to be done before we do have a new round or new opening. And it looks like that it is ongoing because there's already been one partial review anyway by ICANN staff, which was last year, wasn't it?
Okay, so the recommendation is that these would be a prerequisite for the next round. And any questions for David on these recommendations, with 39 and 40?
It's tailoring, Mr. Knight. My Adobe Connect is now crashed, so I can't even raise my hand. I guess I'm curious. There are, as David mentioned, there has already been a TMCH study. So I don't understand what the sort of blocking item here is. With the URS at least, I know that's under slate for consideration by the PDP, but the TMCH just seems like this already happened. So I'm a little concerned that we're making a prerequisite out of, like, sort of implying that there's more work to be done when we might have already completed it.
Sure. Take that point. Agree on the URS side. On the Trademark Clearinghouse, yes, there has been that review. And I think the issue I've got when I was reading, I went back to that actually over the weekend, and it was clear in there that they said in a couple of places they were unable to make definitive conclusions to data limitations. So when you've got those issues that they're the same as data limitations, it seems to me we have to get the proper data in on that. And it may be we have some from the INTA study. The clearinghouse wasn't a major part of that, but it is a part of it. It is part of the survey questions. So that's the thing that's kind of concerning me. And it's in the executive summary as well of the Trademark Clearinghouse review.
Yeah, so David's joining again. I guess I'm just concerned.
You just dropped out, Jordan. We can't hear you anymore.
I thought it was me as well. I'm suddenly looking at my phone there thinking I can't hear Jordan.
Okay. How about now?
Now we can hear you.
Sorry, my phone decided to arbitrarily go back on mute. But in any case, I was just saying I'm a little concerned about making these prerequisites when we're basically, like, I'd rather these be sort of stated as, you know, we want to encourage the PDP to make sure that it looks at these issues or something like that, as opposed to, like, right, as David phrased it, it roughly says, like, oh, well, we want someone, unclear who, to sort of decide that the PDP or the TMCH did a good job and then it's okay to proceed. But that seems totally unimplementable. So it just seems like we need, like, a clear boundary for some objective person has to be able to read this and figure out whether or not it's been satisfied. And from the conversation, I don't know how I would interpret that, and I'm pretty close to the work, much less how, like, the board or someone would.
Sure. And it's a good point. So, I mean, for my mind, the clearinghouse, when I read through the last report, the 25th of July 2016 review, and when it says there quite clearly it can't make definitive conclusions due to data limitations, that to me meant, okay, well, we need to resolve that and get the right data, because it points to the recommendations in there not being particularly helpful. So that's where I think we need the precision.
So hence, I do think that to me points to either a second review or a further review, a follow-up review on that. Something has to be done where we get that clearly put out there and decided. And I mean, again, the PDP review is ongoing, and that, I think that's due in January 2018, the report, and I think they're starting to look at the clearinghouse now. It was either the US now or the clearinghouse now, I can't remember which, but we haven't got their input on the clearinghouse as well, so I was kind of keen to get that as well to see how that would refine our recommendation. But as it stands for the recommendation to me, I thought it does, yes, because it needs to have a clarity on the scope, and we need sufficient data, so that was it, review the, I think the recommendations, specifically the one I've put in for the clearinghouse, was a review of the clearinghouse and its scope should be carried out, which provides us with sufficient data to make recommendations and allow effective policy review. Because as it stands, and looking for that, I couldn't review that. If someone gave me that as an implementation recommendation team, I'd come up to have got the data. That seems to be missing.
But David, if I can jump in, this is Aliza. I put a couple of comments in the chat. But the TMCH review is under discussion in the RPM PDP working group, and they have actually discussed the results of that report with analysis group, who are one of the lead authors on that study. And there is a slightly revised version of that that's coming out because there were recommendations to find additional data. They didn't get a whole lot, but they're going to be very slight revisions, I would say, and we're actually planning on publishing that, if not this week, then likely next week.
Yeah, so it's Jordan again. I would just suggest that we make these clear that I just don't want to second guess the work of some other PDP that's going on right now and have some arbitrary, you know, the board or something try to reconcile recommendations we're making here versus actually happen in that PDP. So I just think we should make it clear that that PDP should consider these issues, and they need to actually do so prior to the subsequent round, subsequent procedures. But that we're not trying to create some further gating of it other than the fact that community in the form of the CDP considers the issue.
I agree with that. I think you've got, and Elise, you've got all the wordings in the document, again, I circulated on Sunday in the rationale. That's exactly what I cover in there, because that's I put in there, the wording I've got here is we need to await the final report of that independent review. This is the Trademark Clearinghouse independent review to finalise our recommendations. It's hoped the INTA impact study will also provide useful data in that respect, and indeed the PDP review of all RPMs, which is running in parallel to the CCT review team, will contribute to this consideration, and those working groups reports need to be considered to set the scope for any review and potential modifications. So that's what I was trying to cover, and that's in the rationale, so maybe bring some of that wording up into the recommendation. Happy on that.
And David, Margie also has a question or comment.
Okay.
Yes. Hi. My question relates to who this is directed to. I mean, you've mentioned the subsequent procedures PDP, but is that really what you intend, or should it be the PDP on RPMs? Otherwise, I'm just not sure what the subsequent procedures PDP would be expected to do.
No, you're right on that. I'm not sure why I've got the subsequent procedures working group in there. I was toying, and I wasn't sure. I wanted to go through all the other reviews and figure out where we were all directing things, because again, that it seemed to me to, you know, where do we direct to review the Trademark Clearinghouse? Is that ICANN and the board? At the end of the day, are we pushing all of this recommendations to the board, or is this to something else? Because again, I wasn't sure whether we shouldn't be recommending or putting that to the PDP RPMs if we're waiting on them as well to include. You see what I mean? It's just I'm not quite sure how the jigsaw fits together, and where if we don't sort of recommend it going on recommendations, so the dog wagging the tail. So as long as it all fits together nicely, I'm very happy.
So is the recommendation then to keep these as a high priority but direct them, keep these as a prerequisite but direct them to the working group on on RPMs rather than subsequent procedures? Is that the revised proposal?
That sounds fine to me. I'm happy to, I mean, taking Marge's guidance on that, I think that's probably the better. It certainly shouldn't be the subsequent one. It should be more either the board or the rights protection mechanisms, DDP. And I think, actually, I mean, having said that, I think on this draft one, because this is our draft report, it makes more sense to put it on the RPM PDP to ensure, and then we can get that linking with them to ensure that they are doing this, and to the extent they're doing it, that would affect our final recommendation.
Okay. So should we then call for consensus on recommendations 39 and 40 to – can everyone hear me?
I can, yeah.
Okay, because I'm getting a message to join the audio conference. I'm wondering why I'm getting that. So the recommendation is to have 39 and 40 as prerequisites, but directed to the PDP on RPMs. So if people disagree with that, please register a disagreement in the Adobe.
Hey, Laurie, I'm somewhat concerned about making them a prerequisite, but it somewhat depends on what we see from the INSA study. So I'm okay making this provisionally a prerequisite, but I want to see whether there's actually problems we're trying to solve. Like the URF, it's not clear there's an actual issue there.
Okay, well, it sounds like then that's something that would be taken up between now and the final report, but not for the preliminary report, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I just want to make my concern. No?
Yeah, you have a statement on the record. Okay, so I'm not seeing any disagreement, so I will... we can register consensus on 39 and 40. And now I'm hoping, thank you, David. Thanks for jumping in.
Pleasure. I'll go back on mute now. I'll go on mute. Thanks.
Okay. So now I'm hoping that Drew can take over the three recommendations, 34, 35, and 36, on the public interest commitment.
Yes, I can now. I'm not mobile right now. Yes. For the voluntary picks, we have three recommendations, and the first one relates to the fact that while the picks are technically available for viewing on ICANN's website vis-a-vis the registry agreements, they are not they do not exist in their own separate voluntary picks database. And so, therefore, anyone wanting to draw a comparison between the picks of different registries to better understand what safeguards different registry operators are putting in place, how they're working and whatnot, they would have to individually go through every single registry agreement and extract them, which is what ICANN have had to do for us. So, this recommendation, I think should be done before the next round because of the fact that there will presumably be an option for voluntary picks in the next round. And I think it'd be helpful for even applicants to see what, you know, in a more centralized way, what applicants had done in the past. With that said, going with the notion of not everything being the highest priority, I would put the other two PICS-related priorities. I think those are those need to be done sooner than this one, perhaps, and they're easier to do than this one for implementing. Can you remind me again, what does a medium priority mean in terms of the timeline?
36 months after the issuance of the final report.
3 years.
Okay. Okay. So I would say that this could be a medium priority. And so I'd love to hear any feedback on that.
So just for clarity, Andrew, this would be a these would be a prerequisite but a medium priority. I just want to make sure I understand it correctly.
Yeah, sorry. All three of these would be prerequisite. And then the first one would be a medium priority prerequisite.
Sorry, this is Aliza. Can I jump in really quick?
Yes,
of course. Please do.
We've been treating these four categories as mutually exclusive. So it's either a prerequisite, high, medium, or low. Did I misunderstand that?
This is Jonathan. I don't think these. I think that is how we've been treating it. It's a little bit weird in that prerequisite is a sort of indefinite time frame, but it's just a prerequisite, whereas the others are time frames, specific time frames. But Drew, I think if you make it prerequisite, then that just means it has to get done before there's any more subsequent procedures.
Right, so I would not make this one a prerequisite. I would put it medium, because worst case, if it doesn't get done before the next round, applicants could still go through individual registry agreements. There would not be this comparative analysis and whatnot. So there's certainly value added, but I don't think it should bring everything to a halt if it's not done before the next round.
Right. So that just means it's not a prerequisite, that it's just a medium priority.
Okay. Yeah. So sorry about that. So not a prerequisite. Medium priority. Does everybody agree with that? Or does anybody disagree with that, rather? The easier question there. Anybody have any comments before I move on to the next one? No? Okay, so the next one would be a prerequisite, which is future GTLD applicants should state the goals of each of their voluntary picks. So assuming that the voluntary picks application would take the same form as now, we would be requesting that they also state the goal of each of the picks that they're proposing that they will do. So that way it's easy for the community to understand what the intended goal is during the review period before the application gets accepted. And so this would be a prerequisite. And so this would allow, also complement number three, which is a prerequisite too. So number three, so we can kind of discuss these together. So the number three is that voluntary picks should be submitted during the application process to allow for GAC review, community, and LPO objections. And so if you recall, for the initial picks, just by the nature of the way things were going along, applicants had fewer than 30 days to come up with voluntary picks. And so we're suggesting that it's a prerequisite that voluntary picks are submitted during the application process itself. So that way you can get this review. And then that previous recommendation is that the goals of the picks should be stated with any proposed picks. So that way, during this application period, there would be more information as well as enough time for people to weigh in one way or another. And that way we're not prescribing any specific form that PICS should take or anything like that, but instead we're just making as much information available to the community with as much time as possible so the community could weigh in, and that would be a safeguard to prevent there from being bad PICS or perhaps improved PICS and whatnot. So does anybody oppose either of those two being prerequisites? Okay. And then, Aliza, just for clarity, we need to state that it's a high, medium, or low priority prerequisite, but still prerequisite, or is prerequisite enough for categorizing it because of the, what was that?
It's enough. Sorry, prerequisite.
It's enough. Okay, great. Great.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you. All right. That's it for me.
So for clarity, 34 is a medium priority, and 35 and 36 are prerequisites. That's what we've come to consensus on.
Correct. That's a robust discussion.
Great. So I think the next recommendation is consumer choice, and then we have three on benefits versus confusion. Megan had taken ownership of the benefits versus confusion. I'm not sure if there's anyone on the call who can really speak to those. Jonathan, do you have any thoughts on those? Maybe we should consider those on the call tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to start.
Yeah, I will.
Been...
Go ahead,
Jonathan. Go ahead. Sorry.
Either way, I mean, I think both Jordan and I are kind of looking at those documents to clean them up while Megan's on sick leave. And so I think between us, we'll figure out how to discuss them for tomorrow.
Okay, that sounds good. Then consumer choice. Jordan, is that is 41 one you can speak to?
Yeah, is 41 the one on the ARP? Consider the RPMs
yes,
for
costs
the...
costs related to defensive registration for a small number of trademarks. Registering
right.
large numbers of domains can be reduced.
Yeah, so this is, as everyone may recall, I think our analysis so far, once again, this is contingent on learning more from the INSA study, that our analysis so far indicates that we see sort of a bimodal distribution in terms of defensive registration costs. Most brands are either not registered in the new GTLDs or registered only in a small number of them, whereas there's a small number of brands or trademarks that are registered in a very large number of new GTLDs. And so the recommendation here is that as opposed to just sort of thinking about how to address the general problem of defensive registrations, that the subsequent procedures, PDP, takes a specific look to see if there's mechanisms that could be put in place to address the issue of these larger, of these trademarks that are registered in a large number of TLDs. Because I think that's an insight that the previous policy work in this area didn't have access to because it hadn't happened yet. So, that's the recommendation. That's a prerequisite, as it needs to be considered as a policy element prior to the release of additional GTLDs. And I can't see Adobe Connect, so I'll have to totally rely on someone else to deal with
okay.
the moderating queue.
So, Wado has a question for you, Jordan.
Thanks.
I'm wondering, I thought there was a time we considered some alternatives to these high costs for defensive registrations, and I remember what it was blocking. So how does that relate to this particular recommendation, that there are already other alternatives?
So if I understand, I think you had written this on the email, and by email as well. I think, in general, I think my view at least, and I think this is what's reflected by the data, is that for most brands, the costs are not that high. Now, you know, David's made the point that we don't have full information and also that, it could be that not that high is still double their previous costs. If they only had three registrations before and they have to get three more. But in absolute terms, that's not a particularly high cost. And so, but there are some brands that are registering literally hundreds of TLDs and bearing a significant deadweight cost. And so the idea here is just to look specifically at those
brands that are bearing the larger cost and see if there's a specific set of recommendations we can make around them. It's possible that there's not. There's nothing different that we can do. But the idea is to try to separate.
No, Jordan, I think I was asking something slightly different. I was actually not referring to the binomial issue. I'm asking about the fact that there are already some resolutions to this problem of high costs for defensive registrations. There are already some alternative ways of countering that. And I've given you the example of blocking. And now we're making a recommendation here that...
Yeah, okay, sorry about that. I understand. Yeah, I would imagine that it would be reasonable for the PDP to consider issues like blocking. We could certainly include in the rationale statement that sort of solution might be considered. I just don't want for us to prescribe a policy solution to, because that's what the policy group is supposed to do.
Yeah, I was just worried that you could be asking for a solution to be sought when already there are some solutions available.
Yeah, that does make sense. I think we should make reference to the blocking solutions in the rationale.
Okay.
Jordan,
any other comments?
Have any other comments?
Okay, so if that's the case, why don't we go ahead and see if anyone disagrees with the notion of making this prerequisite to have the subsequent procedures PDP consider this issue prior to a next round as a prerequisite.
Okay, so if anyone disagrees, either speak up or register that in your voting buttons. And I'm not seeing any. Is someone speaking?
Sorry, yes, this is Aliza. I should have raised my hand. So,
I see it. Go ahead.
The recommendation is just to the subsequent procedures PDP, because it's also in our chart. We have it listed to the RPM PDP as well, or is it for both?
No, I think either one of them can, I guess, but I would imagine it would make more sense for subsequent procedures, but I guess I don't have a strong. I think a policy body, a policymaking group should consider it, but prior to the next round. So I guess it could be either. We would leave it up to the GNSO to determine which PDP was the right one.
So should we leave it to make the recommendation to the GNSO council?
Yeah, I think that's right. Let's do that. I think they're the arbiters of which policy we're supposed to go where.
All right. We'll note that. Thank you.
Okay, so we have consensus on that. The next one is on registry policies, and I think Dejan, I think this was actually one of the papers that you had helped author. So do you want to present this recommendation?
Yeah, I'm here. You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. The thing with this recommendation is that the policies regarding privacy should be more strictly. It doesn't necessarily be that ICANN should develop some particular privacy policies. It's necessary to add just minimum of restrictions and in order to cover cases where the registries doesn't have at all privacy policies, or they in cases where when they have bad policy, and we find few of them in this analysis. So cases such as sharing and selling private personal data should be at least covered with the, I don't know, few sentences within policies, and those cases should be forbidden. Also, another recommendation here I recently had that the next service on registrants and consumer service should include more data regarding privacy. And in my opinion, it shouldn't be a prerequisite. I think that medium priority is quite okay, since the next year, since the GDPR will coming into force next year, so 3 years from final report is, I think, quite okay. So that's in short.
So questions or comments for this recommendation dealing with privacy? It sounds like we have one more recommendation to add to the chart to reflect a call for more information to be gathered on this issue, and also that this would be designated as a medium priority. So questions or comments on recommendation 45?
So, Lauren, can you just restate? So are we saying that there's 45 is as it reads, and there's a 46 that is medium priority, or are you saying both are medium priority?
No, we're only talking about 45 now. We jumped because Megan is not here to discuss 42 through 44. So now
No, I understood. Sorry, I meant like 45A or something. Like you said, there's an additional recommendation to be made.
Sorry.
So I guess I'm just trying to understand that.
Yeah. There will be an additional recommendation here on the chart, but it's not here already, so I don't want to change the number.
All right, so we're strictly just talking about the current one. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, actually, as I understood it, there's a recommendation in Dejan's paper that includes this this recommendation to gather more information. Am I hearing that you'd like a little more information about that?
I'm trying to understand what the – in terms of prioritization, are we trying to prioritize both right now or just the one that's on the chart right now?
I believe both right now, and what I heard was
okay.
That both would be medium. So do you want that part about the recommendation that's not on the chart repeated?
No, that's fine. If they're both medium, I'm fine with that prioritization.
Okay. So other questions or comments? Okay, Aliza?
Thanks, Lauren. I don't see a second recommendation. Is this something we're adding to his paper? I'm looking at his Dan, I'm looking at your paper now, and I just see one recommendation at the end. Perhaps I missed something.
I added it recently in my paper, but if it's too late to edit, we can delete it. But I think it would be very useful to have that more information regarding privacy. So if it's already late.
Did you add it to your Google Doc or?
Yeah, Google Doc. Yeah, yeah. It's
so,
the last sentence in the recommendation.
It is embedded in the recommendation. It's not a separate recommendation. Are you suggesting making that a separate recommendation or just keeping it within this recommendation?
Well, I think it's okay
to
keep it in.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not separate, yeah.
Sorry, I thought you meant that it was a new recommendation, but I see the language in there. I understand.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
But I'm wondering, even for the paper, if that should stand alone, because analytically those are two different things. One is an information gathering, and one is a consider. And actually, if I were going to be looking at the paper, I would say you might even want to flip them to gather the information, and then in light of what you've already found and the information you get, to consider stricter mandatory regulations. But that, you know, take that as a suggestion.
Okay.
Other questions or comments? So what we have then is for 45, we have that as a medium priority. Does anyone have any disagreements about these issues regarding the way information is protected, privacy issues? Any questions or comments or disagreements with that being considered a medium priority? Okay, I'm not seeing any. I'm not seeing any disagreements, so we have consensus on that. I'm going to skip. Actually, not skip. I'm going to go to the consumer trust recommendations now. Consumer trust recommendations are 46 to 49, and we've actually talked about these quite a lot, so I'm hoping we can just move through these rather quickly. The first one is to conduct a study to assess why and to what extent the public trusts new GTLDs. And I'm scrolling. It's very hard to see this. In fact, I would make a recommendation that, although Excel spreadsheets are very useful for categorizing information, they are singularly not useful for looking at things for these phone calls. To present the data in some other more easily readable format when we do things like this again. This would be a prerequisite for subsequent procedures, the rationale being that right now the information tells us that there's still a considerable lag in levels of trust for new GTLDs versus legacy GTLDs. So the proposal is that this would be a prerequisite. Questions or comments on this recommendation, which is recommendation 46. Questions or comments?
Hillary, could you just restate what the deliverable you think? Like what actually needs to be completed as the prerequisite?
The deliverable would be a study that that gets much further into this issue of why and to what extent the public trusts new GTLDs. In the current surveys, we have this report that they trust them less, and we have sort of very broad concepts of familiarity and reputation being cited as the factors, but we don't have a lot of objective data, and we also don't have a lot of information about what does reputation and familiarity really mean. So the deliverable would be to try and get at more useful and actionable information about what's driving trust levels for new GTLDs before the next round.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'm just trying to wrap my head around how that would be used. Is the idea that the subsequent procedures PDP would then consume that information in their process?
The subsequent procedures and also future applicants. I mean, hopefully this sort of thing would be publicized, and that people, the community of folks who are deciding whether to purchase, apply for new GTLDs could consider that information as they're making their decisions about, you know, what to pursue and why.
Okay. I'm a little concerned about making the prerequisite, but I'm okay. I understand there's a strong sentiment on this one, so I'll withhold objections.
Thanks, Jordan. Other questions or comments? Okay, then I'll call for consensus on this recommendation 46 being a prerequisite. Anyone who disagrees with that, please register that in your voting buttons. Okay, and I see. Thank you, Hal. So I'm not seeing any disagreement. I'm only seeing agreement. So we have consensus on 46. So 47 is to create incentives to encourage GTLD registries to meet consumer user expectations. This is a recommendation to the PDP working group. And this would also be, this is also designated as a prerequisite, because these are the sorts of incentives that could be implemented as part of the application process. And more specifically, this was a recommendation to encourage GTLD registries to meet user expectations regarding the relationship of a GTLD to its name, restrictions as to who can register a domain name in certain GTLDs based upon implied messages of trust conveyed by the name. This would particularly apply for sensitive or regulated industries, and the safety and security of users' personal and sensitive information, including health and financial information. And this actually syncs up with Dejan's recommendation. So that's the that is the recommendation as a prerequisite. So questions or comments on that recommendation? So I'm not seeing or hearing any questions or comments on that recommendation. So I will assume then that we have consensus on recommendation 47. And now we are on recommendation 48, repeat selected parts of the global surveys to look for an increase in familiarity with the new GTLDs, location of new GTLDs, perceived trustworthiness. And again, I'm looking at the, I'm trying to scroll across. Actually, I'm going to go to my paper because it's too hard to see on this chart. That we have as a high priority, but not a prerequisite. And the idea here is again to just have a baseline, but to have that baseline repeated in regular intervals, so we can have that as an assessment. And Elisa, I see your 47. 47 is a prerequisite. That's the recommendation. And now we're on 48, which is not a prerequisite, but is a high priority. Elisa, go ahead.
Thank you, Maureen. So I have a question on this one. I think you agreed that 46 is a prerequisite, which seems very similar to 48, or actually 48 seems like it's kind of part and parcel of 46, but now we're assigning them different priority levels. I mean, if I were to implement these, I think there's a number of recommendations that relate to surveys, and I would probably want to combine these together. You would assign to them.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. then I would keep them all, because you would implement it together. I was thinking of them analytically being separate, that you would just repeat parts of the surveys, but something else could be done separately. You know, my issue here is that to a certain extent, the Nielsen surveys didn't get at these issues with in a way that I think people could act on them, in that it was so subjective and didn't get really underneath these issues. So I'm always wondering if it would be implemented the same, since I assume if we were going to repeat studies, we would have Nielsen do it. But it seems to me that there is a possibility that some other entity would do this study for the recommendation for 46, which is why I had them have different priorities.
Well, if I may, I mean, certainly it could be a different entity. There's nothing that would require us to utilize Nielsen again, although I think it might be helpful given that they've had experience doing this twice now. But I would also add that, you know, no matter what, this is a very subjective question to pose to people, and interpreting the data is, can be interpreted in a number of different ways. So it's a challenging topic to measure.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Regardless of who does it, I mean, you all spent quite a bit of time working with Nielsen on trying to refine the questions to get at better answers, and I think you saw how challenging that can be. So, anyway, just some food for thought there.
Right. No, I appreciate that. If we're going to group them together, then I would default to the prerequisite. I would always, in fact, generally, if we have these issues, I would default to the higher priority rather than the lower one.
To combine 46 and 48, you were suggesting?
Yeah, we could combine them and then treat them both as a high priority. Well, I wouldn't combine them, but I would just change the priority for 48 to a prerequisite, so that it could be implemented together. I do think they are separate recommendations. One is just a repeat. The other is really getting at related but additional issues.
Okay.
But the points you raised are well taken. Other questions or comments? I'm going to take Elisa's suggestion to put this as a prerequisite also, because in implementation, 46 and 48 would be grouped together. So the recommendation is to also have this as a prerequisite. Questions or comments on that? Otherwise, I'll ask people to vote if you disagree with this. Okay, I'm not hearing disagreement, and I'm not seeing any disagreement. So we'll move on to 49. This recommendation is a study to collect data on the impact of restrictions on who can buy domains within certain new GPLDs. And this has a where's the priority for that? I don't see a priority here. This deals with collecting data on the impact of restrictions on who can buy domains and to compare consumer trust levels within the new GPLDs with varying degrees of registration restrictions, determining whether there are correlations between DNS abuse and the presence or absence of registration restrictions, and assessing the cost and benefits of registration restrictions and how these are being enforced. And this is not a prerequisite. And in terms of timing, this has a low priority. And I think that's reflecting the time it may take to actually gather this information. Can you remind me, Elisa, what are, in terms of timing, what the low priority is?
Yes, that is, must be completed prior to the start of the next CCT review.
Okay. Which I think would be the right time so that they can, so that the next CCT can assess that. So questions or comments on 49? Questions or comments on 49? Okay, so I'm not seeing questions or comments, so I'll ask people to vote. If you disagree with this prioritization, please show that. Okay, Calvin, you have a question or a comment? No, you disappeared. If you do have a, okay, Calvin would agree with this being a low priority. Okay, and I'm seeing check marks. Okay, so it looks like we have consensus on 49 as a low priority. If I don't know if we still have Jonathan on the call, but I think that the rest of the items 50 through 60, okay, 50 through 60, I think are still on the set of papers. Well, we've done the application and evaluation, so 50 through 53 are done. But 54 through 60, I think those are still the papers that Megan was working on and that you and Jordan are looking at. So are we holding those till tomorrow?
Right. I think so, just because I don't know if Jordan feels ready to discuss any of these recommendations, but I don't feel on top of them.
No, I've been working through the doc. I actually find the recommendations a bit confusing, so it's fine on editing them a little bit, which I'm sure is not going to make the staff that happy, but we'll maybe make the conversation a little bit clearer.
Okay. So then we will table those for tomorrow. So I think what we have left, I'm going to try and make a – I'm going to take a stab at highlighting what we have left. I believe what we have left on the table is 42 through 44 and 54 through 60. I think those are the only things that that we have not prioritized. And if I'm misstating something, maybe staff can jump in and correct me.
May I? This is Aliza. There was one recommendation I noticed yesterday as I was going through the papers that was missing when we talked through the data analysis recommendations, which some of those have now been moved to the competition paper because they were more appropriate for that section. And it's now on the chart as number 7. It's relating to collection of secondary market data. So we never discussed a prerequisite or priority level for that. Is that something we can determine on this call?
Jordan?
I
Jordan, do we still have you on the call?
It sounded like Jonathan had to dash off as well. This was, he had originally written this into the data analysis chapter, and then I moved it into the competition chapter after we agreed that we'd only keep, because there was a lot of repetition of the recommendations that were in there and what appeared in the subsequent chapters. We moved that one down there. I can read the bulk of the recommendation, or we could tackle this on tomorrow.
I'd rather tackle it tomorrow, because I wouldn't be, I don't think we're going to be able to speak to it other than reading it, at least from my perspective.
That's fine.
So I think we need to tackle it tomorrow. So it sounds like Jonathan needed to get back to the intersessional. Does anyone have any general questions or comments, or maybe we can hear from the staff about just logistics for how things are teeing up for our dates? I know we're running a little behind, although we have managed to get in a lot of the the papers, I think.
Yes, Laurine, it's Jean-Baptiste on the line. We are still expecting the latest versions on Megan's papers. The executive summary, you may all have received it in your inbox, so you're invited to comment it until this Friday at 12 p.m. UTC. Other than that, we're just waiting for a few clarification on the data analysis paper. And once we have the latest version of Megan's paper and the data analysis paper, we can incorporate those in the consolidated draft report and send those to the editor. And, after a few days, we'll have a first, draft, which we will share with the review team for minor comments. And then once the executive summary has been revised, we'll include it in the final draft report.
That sounds good. And I just want to say how much I appreciate all the hard work and wrangling and organizational stuff and fine combing for inconsistencies and putting in sites and all the things I'm not mentioning and may not even be aware of that are going on by our great staff. So a big thank you and a word of appreciation. And also I want to strongly, strongly encourage everyone to take a look at the executive summary because the reality is a lot of people may not read this report. The only thing they may read is the executive summary. So if you are going to take a real close look at only one thing between today and tomorrow, it should be the executive summary. So please take a look at that. You actually can comment until the end of the week, but if there's any comments you want to make to the group, tomorrow would be the ideal time. So I did want to emphasize that. And then... does anyone else have any other business to raise or discuss? I was curious about the travel issues because if there were any updates about that, I had actually, you know, filled out the form and gotten in my request, but I haven't seen any response to that. So I don't know what the status is of travel plans, if
anything. Hi, Laurine. It's Pamela.
Hey, Pam.
Hello. I just got an email from Laura Ramirez, who handles the hotels, and she said all of the hotel reservation confirmations, including the staff, are going out this week. Now, what day this week, I don't know. She also confirmed that there will be shuttles from the hotels to the convention center, depending on distance. And so those, we know that those things are happening, and you should, as I understand it, you should be receiving notifications this week as far as your travel arrangements. But they did get the travel sheet, travel requesting every one of you get there, and we're just not getting the hotel information or the confirmations until this week. So just FYI. be on the lookout. I will be too. I to annoy Laura enough to make sure that she knows I still exist, but not annoy her so much that she leaves us to the very last. There is prioritization here. They're treating people the same way they're treating you guys. So I just keep reminding her every few days that, hey, we're here. So hopefully you will receive emails this week with your hotel information and everything else. Hang on. And actually, let me see, because it seems like, now that I think about it, hotel notes for Copenhagen. All right. Oh, she did say that you will, as a group, you're supposed to be housed at the Scandic. Oh, just let me write this in the chat because I can't even pronounce this. But this will at least, I'm sure it's one of the approved hotels for the event. And this will at least give you some idea.
That's helpful.
Okay.
Great. So thank you for that update, Pam. I'm sure you have just the right blend of perseverance without becoming annoying that we need.
I hope.
So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. So just be on the lookout in your emails for a confirmation this week, and I will keep gently pestering Laura until we get them.
Perfect. Okay. Then I think that is it. Oh, no wonder you can pronounce it. Sydhavnen. Calvin, you have your hand up. I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Do you have your hand up?
I have my hand up, and I just wanted to say that I've already got my tickets and everything, and hopefully I won't lose my passport this time.
We're all hoping that, Calvin. We missed you, and we want to see you again in Copenhagen. So did you get your arrangements done through ICANN Travel then?
Yes, I've had my stuff done through ICANN Travel, so the only thing I don't have is the hotel accommodation, but I've got the tickets and everything else all sorted already.
Got it. Okay. Well, I guess I'll follow up with them then separately. I don't know why mine hasn't gotten queued up.
Yeah, that's good to know. That way I will ping people from the other end, saying some of the team members have gotten information and some have not. And so if we could just make sure everybody had their information.
Got it. Okay. Well, thank you, one and all. We will talk then tomorrow. And thanks, everyone, for their participation today.